You're listening to Her Side Hustle, the podcast that teaches women how to build their business while working a 9-to-5. Each week, we'll hear the stories of female entrepreneurs on how they turn their side hustle dreams into a reality. I'm your host, Rachel Burke, and this is Her Side Hustle. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Rachel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to have you here. I'm excited to hear all about your story and what it is that you do. I was reading your website and I saw that your title is a time and mind management coach.
Uh-huh.
And you have a company called Life Leap Coaching. So I wanted to just hear from you to get started. Tell me a little bit about your business and what is life coaching? I've heard of it, you know, a million times before, but I honestly... Yeah. I don't have too much background on it.
There are a few different types of life coaches. I think a common misconception is that people think a life coach will go, okay, here's how you fix your life. You need to do this. You need to do this. Like the action of fixing your life, but it's couldn't be further from the truth. So basically what I do is I help, like my clients will come to me and say, okay, this is what is working in my life. These are the areas that aren't. And then we will sit down and I will show them how to tackle that. I will show them how to figure out how to tackle it so they can just continue doing that without me rather than me just telling them how to fix their problems. Cause I don't even know what the hell, how would I know how everyone could fix their problems? Right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there specific, like, is there a specific client that would be perfect for a life coach? Is, you know, what is the ideal client, or could it really just be anybody in any situation of life needing your help?
It really could. I mean, in life coaching in general, I don't know anyone that couldn't use a life coach, because even if you like found a bad life coach, just having somebody to talk to once a week that just listens to you, even that just on its own is valuable. Mm-hmm. So I would say if someone's in a position where they're not functioning at 100%, like maybe a little depression going on, a little clinical depression going on, for sure, therapy all day long. Like if you're stuck on your past and have a story you're holding on to, 1000% therapy. I kind of look at the two, like therapy helps you understand how you got where you are and helps you kind of process that, where life coaching is like, okay, here's where you are. I will help you get here.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of the easiest way to describe the difference.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, how long have you been doing life coaching?
So for 2 years, I got certified 2 years ago. But I've only been doing it full time. I just passed my 1 year mark.
Awesome. Yeah. So 2 years now you've been doing it. And so, yeah, you did it on the side for about a year. What were you doing prior to coaching? And then what made you make that transition to take your coaching business full time?
It's interesting. So before, prior to this, I worked for the same company for 25 years. And I'm I'm pretty young. I am not, I worked at Sonic Drive-In in high school. And then I got a job with a publishing company. And over the years, I got promoted. And for the last 10 or so years, I was an advertising sales representative. So I would fly all over the country pitching clients on advertising and stuff like that. And so it's an interesting one. So I hired a life coach, and I hired just to figure out, like, what the hell, what is my purpose in life? How can I be happy? I should be happy. I made great money. I had all these things and I was just not that happy. And so in my work with her, she helped me like cure the relationship with my mom, which was not something I was trying to do because it was kind of a hot mess. And so I was like, oh, this actually really works, this stuff. And I had always been into self-help books and personal development, all of this, but the work I did with the life coach, like, was 10 times more than what I got from all of those years of reading self-help books. And so for me, I was just like, this is awesome. It's just great. And then my company got bought out by a private equity firm. And I was like, oh dear God, I'm going to get laid off, because that's what happens.
Yep.
And I hadn't in my life, I had never gone without a paycheck since I was 15 years old, because I had been, I mean, I never had to worry about anything. And so the school that certified the coach I worked with launched online certification, and it was a huge investment. And I was like, okay. And it honestly came from a little panic. I was like, I will get certified as a life coach, and worst case scenario, if they lay me off, I will have this to fall back on, and I will just know all this stuff really well for my own personal life. Well, it didn't happen. I didn't get laid off. I ended up falling in love with, because I would coach on the weekends when I wasn't traveling, and I just loved it. And so I spent like a little window hoping they would lay me off, because I was like, I really want to do the coaching, but I'm scared to take that plunge.
Yep.
But they didn't. They gave me a damn raise. They started changing things. And I was like, are you kidding me? And so it was pretty interesting. It was almost like the universe said, oh no, you have to walk off this cliff by yourself.
Yep. Got it. It's funny that you say that, because so I work for a big software company right now. I work in the customer success department, and I like my job. It's a great job, but I ultimately would like to take this podcasting, you know, business full time. And my company right now, it's a new department, our customer success team. So we're growing, but there's a lot of like pain, like growth pains that we're experiencing. And sometimes I'm just sitting here like, I kind of wish that like the company would have to just kind of like lay people off, so that way I could just like really focus full time on podcasting rather than having to work, you know, a full time job and then podcast, you know, on the weekends, like you did with life coaching or after work. Like, it's hard to focus on your full time when your interests really lie, you know, elsewhere on your side hustle. So I definitely get that. Yeah. And so you had only, so this is what, your third job your entire life?
Yes. I washed dishes once when I was like 13, but I got caught and they thought I was like little child breaking child labor laws. But
that's hilarious.
My second job.
Wow. That's impressive. I am definitely the type of person that I feel like I get bored super easily. Like I graduated college in 2015 and I've had, I think, like four jobs since then. Oh, I just get bored. I don't know.
Well, they say you should never, I read an article by some employment placement or whatever they're called. I can't think, but he was in the article. He said, you should never stay somewhere more than 5 years. And I was like, well, I kind of surpassed, but he said you pretty much max out your potential and you kind of hit that ceiling, which was so true for me. It was certainly something I had struggled with for sure.
Yep. So tell me, when you worked at Sonic, did you get free food? Did you love it? Because I feel like I can never find Sonics anymore, but there's like one place I know that there is a Sonic and I love it, but it's far from my house, so I honestly never go. But how
we
was
got
it?
Half off. Unless it was a mistake order, and then and trust me, I had many like cheddar bite mistakes. I'd be like, oh darn, I thought they said two orders.
Yep. That's awesome. I definitely had those jobs. Like, I used to work at Rita's and I would constantly, just like sample the flavors and give free food to my friends. And
Oh, it's so funny. One little funny thing I would do is I loved corn dog breading, but I hate hot dogs. So I would pull the hot dog out and I would shove cheddar bites into the corn dog.
Oh my God.
How healthy is that? But it was so good.
I was going to say, that sounds super healthy, but hey, whatever. Tastes good.
Yeah. I was young. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Okay. So you're working at your advertising company for like 25 years, you said, and you were in sales there.
Yeah.
You're making great money. Why did you want, I know that you were kind of having at first you were worried about your job safety and your security, but then they ultimately, kept you on. Why did you decide to leave that then? Like your secure job, your high paying job that you've done for so long?
I felt like I was married. I met a guy on the side and fell in love with him. And I was like, I totally have to decide here. And for me, what ultimately, because I had gone through like the Dave Ramsey finance stuff. I don't know if you know what that is. So I was in a position financially where I had enough put in savings that I could technically pay myself for several months. But I got to this point where I was like, there was no part of my brain that could see that leaving could potentially be easier than staying. Like I was convinced it would be much more difficult. And so I finally just had to get to a place where I asked myself, what would I regret more? Staying here, knowing I could easily just keep doing this because it's so easy to do what you did the day before. What would I regret more, doing this for another 10 years or taking the plunge, giving it all I've got and it not working? I kind of looked at those two worst case scenarios and it was an easy decision after that. I was like, I would certainly regret staying way more than I would regret trying and failing.
I totally get that. I feel like in today's world, it's so different than what it used to be. Like in the past, you know, my grandparents or even my parents, like they would say the job that they were unhappy with and super unfulfilled at just because it was their job and they had to do it and it paid the bills. But I think that what's cool about, you know, today is that so many people, they are, you know, kind of starting their own companies and really following through with the entrepreneurial side of themselves and just saying, in 10 years, like you said, you know, will I be happier working this job, making money, but just not being happy? Or should I just branch out, try something new, take the risk? And if it pays off, great. But if it fails, guess what? You can go back to your, you know, like you could get a new job. You've got 25 years of advertising sales experience. The worst thing happens is you just have to get a new job and that's fine because you had the resume. So I think it's totally true, you know, your experience, how you were able to just say, screw it, like, let's take the jump and see where it goes. And worst case, you know, worst case situation, I just go back to advertising after a year or two of trying life coaching. So that's great that you did that.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And one thing I learned that during coach certification that really helped me is this whole concept that life is 50-50, like everything you do there is good and bad, right? So my job, the good side of my last job is I made damn good money. I was super secure there. I should have asked you if it's okay if I cut.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I made really good money. And so there were some very strong pros to it, but the cons were like, I was exhausted. I was tired of traveling. I wasn't home enough to even see like my niece and stuff. And I knew going in, I knew that when I quit, it wasn't going to necessarily be better. It would just be different, right? Mm-hmm. It would be a different set of pros and cons. And so I just traded like annoying expense reports for doing my own taxes.
Yeah.
It really was a trade-off, but I was ready for a new set of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like regardless, there's going to be some, you know, pros and cons to whatever it is that you do. But I do feel like it matters that you enjoy what you're doing. Like if you didn't really enjoy your, you know, your past job, but you really enjoy life coaching, the good outweighs the bad, you know?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. Alrighty. So you did it on the side for about a year and then you made the transition to full time. Was there like one breaking moment, like one day where you woke up and you're like, you know what, I'm done, I'm quitting? Or was it kind of like a long process? Like what kind of set you over the edge to be like, all right, let's do it. Like I'm fully 100% in.
Well, my poor mom had to listen to me whine and moan. I was like, I don't know, when should I wait till the end of the year? Should I wait till, because there wasn't like a definitive time frame, like, oh, if I don't do it by then. And I think she just kind of got tired of hearing me. So she's like, just pick a damn day and do it already. And I was like, oh, okay. And I sold trade show booth space. And the way they paid that out is you don't get paid on it all year, but once the show happens, you get a huge commission check. And I was like, I'm going to wait until I get that check and then I'll put my notice in.
Okay. Got it.
And that's what I did. Yeah. So that was kind of, I just had to kind of make my own defining moment there.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, sometimes you just need that kind of like push from somebody, you know,
because yeah,
you can get so like wrapped up in your head and your thoughts. Like even for me with this podcast, I swear to God, every day I like one day I wake up positive. One day I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like I can't do this. Right. You just need somebody to be like, just shut up and do it already.
Totally. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay. So have you ever had moments of doubt? Like once you made that transition, did you ever feel like, what did I do? Like, I want to go back, you know, or has it, you know, just been smooth sailing? How's it been for you?
Okay. So the surprising thing is I was convinced, like after I quit, I felt so vulnerable. I literally felt like I was standing on the highway nude with the live news covering me. I was like, holy shit, what have I done? But I never once said I should have stayed, not one time. And I for sure had some rough patches because if you want to like get familiar with your humanness, launch a business. It will bring up all your shit, right? It brought up everything because you have to get vulnerable. You have to be willing to feel discomfort, confusion, overwhelm. All of that is along for the ride. So you really have to learn how to manage that. And I had one really defining moment. I wrote an email about it that I'm sending out tomorrow, I think. But I was reviewing my week from the week before and I was like, oh, I made $800 last, or reviewing my month. And I was like, oh, I made $800 last month. And I could feel it in my chest. I was like, I'm going to lose everything I own. I was like, because I did not have paying clients before I quit. I had a very like clear boundary on that for myself. I coached people for free. So I went through a lot of drama, like I'm going to run out of money and I'm going to do that. And I really had to get coached hard on that one to pull myself out of it. But that was about the only time I like really was like, oh shit.
That, I mean, that does sound stressful, you know? So you gave services away for free and then you didn't have a paying client until after you launched full time.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Oh my God. And it was more my mindset. I was so paranoid about charging people and my company finding out and not even getting in trouble, but like them feeling like I betrayed them because I knew them all so well and I couldn't openly tell them I was doing that or they would have to take some kind of, so I just tried to keep it clean. Oh yeah. Got I didn't it. Have a paying client. I was like, oh, here we go.
That's here we stressful. Go.
Yeah. Yep. It was intense.
So how long did it take you from when you started or when you launched full time to getting your first paying customer? And then also, did you, for the customers that you had that were free, did you have to then say, all right, sorry guys, but I'm going to start charging? Or were they kind of grandfathered in or how did that work?
It depended on the client. I had a conversation, just kind of let them know what was going on. And I made sure we had a natural end date where it wasn't like, I just said, all right, you're on your own. Some of them renewed or some of them signed up as paying clients. And some of them, it was kind of a natural stopping point for us. Took me a week to sign my first client.
That's which quick.
It wasn't too bad. It was someone that knew me before. And she was just kind of like, what are you doing? Because everybody was like, what the hell is she doing? What? And so that was, it took about a week.
Got it. Were you ever, like, did you ever have feelings of like embarrassment or like being afraid of telling like friends or family what you're doing? Because I know with this podcast, like the only person that knows is my husband because I don't want to tell people like friends of mine. And then I don't know, like I worry too much about what people think or, you know, are they going to make fun of me? Or like, let's say that this is an utter fail. Like, I don't want them to see me fail. Like, did you ever have that kind of like insecure feeling or were you just like, hey, everybody, like, this is what I do, embrace it. And if you want some life coaching, you know, like come to me.
I only had those feelings for about 7 million minutes last year. Oh, it was, well, and because in my 20s and half of my 30s, if I'm being honest, I was kind of like the party girl. I was like, oh yeah, let's do Jaeger shots, karaoke. I'm down. Let's go make some memories.
We'd be friends.
And so my friends were like, so what is she? A life coach? And I think my family, they were pretty close, like hosting an intervention. Cause they're like, you cannot walk away from this job.
Yeah,
making that kind of money to do this. And oh yeah, I had all the drama. Like I remember the first time I posted on Facebook what I was doing, I was sweating.
Yep.
I was so worried about what people were going to think.
Mm-hmm.
But the Got cool it. Thing is like coaching myself through that and getting through that really helps me now help my clients that worry a lot about what other people think.
So, yeah, totally. So
I think it's just a normal part of the process. You just have a human brain.
Yeah. I think if you don't have doubts or insecurities, just feel like you're lying.
Totally.
Everybody totally. Does. Yeah.
1000%. Yeah. We all do for sure.
Yeah. So is there, I know you said you had some sort of certification. Is there like a training path that people have to go on to become a life coach? Is there any education or anything that they have to do or take?
No, it's not a regulated industry. I mean, there are actual certification programs for $29. Which I definitely wouldn't recommend because, I mean, I guess I could have just said I was a life coach and tried to do it, but I don't know how I would have done it without being educated because I learned all these tools and techniques and concepts and exercises that any problem my clients bring to me, I go, yep, I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the hell you would do that without proper training. So I've never had a life coach that didn't go through this certification. So I'm sure there is value in it because it's a pretty big industry now, but it's not regulated.
Okay. Got it. And how many customers do you like as an average or what's like the typical number of customers that you coach at any, you know, given time?
20 is my fully booked. That's like I'm maxed out and then I have to start the wait list. I have 18 right now.
Okay.
And those are all one-on-one sessions. So it's very time intensive, the prep work and the post-call work. So when you coach one-on-one, it's pretty limited inventory.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And that kind of leads into my next question. I guess like what exactly do you do for your customers, or how do you, like, what's your process? Is it only one-on-one calls? Is it on a weekly basis? Is it a monthly basis? Are you checking in sometimes via email or text? Is it just, you know, it depends on the situation and the person? How does that kind of look for you?
So it's all one-on-one. It's all weekly. So we have Zoom sessions. So we have weekly Zoom sessions. Typically with most of my clients, I like to say, okay, we're working together for 3 months. I have her create, typically Work With Women. I have her create a goal she wants to accomplish at the end of the 3 months. And then we just, all roads lead to helping her create that and leading her to that. Some of my clients are like, no, I don't want a goal. I just want to bring all my shit to you. You help me dissect it, find a better way to look at this that actually serves me. And so I have some that are like that. And I'm open over email. Like if anyone needs me, they can email me throughout the week. And I have some that do all the time. And I have some that never have even in a year. It's just kind of a personal preference, I guess.
Yep. Got it. Okay. So what does a typical day look like for you? Are you, like, are there specific, like, I work with Sarah on Mondays and Brittany on Tuesdays, or is it, you know, every day's different? How does your day, you know, what's your schedule usually look like?
So I'm up and at 'em. I'm a morning person, so I'm going pretty strong by about 6:15. I do my little workout. I coach myself. And then I sit down. I do some mindset work for myself to kind of get my head in a clean space. And then I coach, like Thursdays, I don't coach anyone. Thursdays are my business days, interview days like this, and the day I work with my coach. Okay. But the others, I try to kind of just stack pretty deep, coach back to back. And then I sprinkle in my marketing stuff, and I host a lot of free trainings and stuff like that. So I spend time doing that.
Okay, got it. And how do you set your rates? Is it kind of like just across the board, like a customer charge X amount, or does it depend on their specific needs? How do you come up with that?
I try to base it on how difficult I think they'll be. I'm totally kidding. You're like, oh, that's interesting. No, they always recommend you start at like 100 an hour.
Okay.
Like that's kind of like a standard. I mean, most coaches don't offer like a one-off session because you won't change anything, but the starting rate's 100 an hour. And then once you get up and sell out, then you bump your rate up a little bit. And as you build up your skills and provide a better service, then you just increase from there.
Okay, got it. And so a typical, I guess, engagement or whatever you would call it would last maybe 3 months. And then at that time, they either, you know, met their goal and they don't need your assistance anymore, or they'll say, all right, great, I checked, you know, that off the board. Now I want to focus on this. And then it kind of like restarts with you, or...
Yeah.
Or is it depending?
That's pretty much how it goes. We'll get to the 3 months, and it's usually an obvious, let's just keep going and we'll keep working towards the ultimate bigger goal. Or I need to take a break for whatever reason. And yeah, it's a very one-off for sure. Okay. I have one client who's just like, just send me an invoice every month. I'll work with you forever.
That's awesome.
She was my first client. Awesome. And so I told her, I said, I will never raise your rate ever. Yeah. You're locked in for life.
That's awesome. I'm sure you develop some sort of like relationships and kind of like friendships with all of your customers because you're talking on a weekly basis. Like, and it is about, you know, personal, you know, meaningful conversations about that person's life. So I feel like, yeah, you'd really develop kind of like some deep connections with them. So that's awesome. Yeah. That
it's tough though. It makes it hard to coach. Like the client I just mentioned that I've worked with for over a year now, when you have a personal relationship, it's harder to hold, we call it clean space on a call. Like my job on a coaching call is not to make somebody feel better. My job is to like show you where your power is and how you're creating more pain than you need. And that's hard to do when you like really like someone. Like she'll start crying about something and I'll be like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
Yeah. Yeah, that is tricky. Tough. Yep. So how do you find most of your clients? Do you have to, like, is it through Facebook or Instagram or some other type of advertising or marketing or word of mouth? Like, what is the best way that you are able to kind of attract clients?
For me, it's been referral. Referral okay. has like been like 90% of my business. Thank God. Because I had a lot of drama about that over last year because I was like, I'm not creating these clients. They are just coming to me. I can't scale that, right? I can't And I had a lot of drama. I had to get coached hard on it. And so I'm still trying to figure out the best marketing tool for me. I hosted a free self-care bingo game last month.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so fun because I included like really uncomfortable things. So it was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
And I picked up some clients from that, but that really was about the only marketing thing I did that I would say worked really well.
Okay.
Work in progress. Work in progress for sure.
So what happens if you're fully booked, you have 20 customers, but like 40 more or, you know, like 20 other women need your help as well? Do you just have to say, sorry, get on the wait list. Maybe in 3 months I'll have space? Or would you ever like kind of hire people to work for your company and they could kind of be responsible for them?
Possibly. I think coaching is such a personal thing though. So the way it works now is if I don't have the inventory, I encourage them to get on my email list because I try to send as much value as I can out over email and to get in my Facebook group. And then I'll put them on the wait list. And as soon as there's a spot, I'll reach out to them. So I do help them. And sometimes I'll, like, if they're really struggling with something, I'll go, okay, do this work between now and when we start. And that'll give you just an advantage to hit the ground running. Yeah.
Got it. So what are some of the challenges or your least favorite parts about being a life coach?
Marketing. I'm kidding. The actual act of coaching, least favorite. I mean, I enjoy coaching. The actual art of coaching someone on a Zoom session is my favorite part. There's really no part of that I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. The business side of it, my least favorite for sure is marketing.
And taxes, I guess.
Yeah, taxes. I've learned some lessons on taxes this year. Yeah, I have learned some lessons for sure.
Yep, got it. Okay, and then what about your favorite part of coaching? Is it just being able to help others or, you know, what do you like most about it?
Yeah, I was codependent for years and I would try to help all kinds of people that didn't want help. Mm-hmm. So that's never fun. So I just enjoy helping people in general, but there's like this, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a space somebody gets to where they have become kind of their own best friend, you know, where your self-care is like at a 10 and you really have your own back and they don't really see it yet. And I need to come up with a name for it because it's pretty cool. I've seen it happen many times where they tell me about something really stressful that happened and how they handled it. And I'm like, oh my God, they totally handled that in the most compassionate way they could for themselves. And then I point it out and something with them clicks and they're like, oh my God, that was my default. My default mode was having my own back. And that's so rewarding for me to see because it's so hard to get there.
Yep. Gotcha. So I don't know if you'd be able to even speak to this because I don't know, with like confidentiality and whatnot, but do you have any like success stories or just stories that, that have been pretty cool that you've seen with customers, that have, you know, that you've worked through when it comes to your life coaching that they've been able to overcome or anything like that? Or is it not something that you're really able to touch on?
Yeah. I could totally touch on that. I had the most recent is this client I'm working with. I think, I don't know exactly how old she is. She's probably late 50s, early 60s. And she had the most complicated relationship with her mom. And I've only been working with her for like 3 months. She has the most complicated relationship with her mom, who's like 88. And she's just like, I mean, her chest would get red when she would talk about her. And it was really cool for me because I did that work with my own mom. I have to make sure she doesn't listen to this podcast. I did that work with my own mom. And I was like, oh my God, I can totally help her. And I know how good that is. And so she sent me an email and said her mom got a new laptop over Christmas and she helped her set it up and they got on a Zoom session and she actually enjoyed the conversation. And
that's awesome.
And she was crying about it. And I was like, oh, it's so good. So good.
That's great. Yeah. I just feel like you have being a life coach is so rewarding, you know, like so many jobs out there are just meaningless and who cares? Like you're really not, I mean, like I work for a software company, like my job in the grand scheme, it really doesn't matter, you know, but you know, life coaching, like that's cool that you're able to really impact people's lives and build or affect their relationships and help repair relationships. So that's just, it's really cool. I'm sure it's very rewarding for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, what was I going to say? Well, and like for some of your listeners, if you have listeners that don't actually have a side hustle or kind of like in that space where, I don't know, maybe life coaching could work for me. The biggest success stories we see in the industry are people who have like a huge challenge in their life, whether it's weight loss, alcoholic husbands, horrific childhood. I had that one too. But people that had these huge problems that set out to solve them, and then they become a life coach and teach other people to do that. Those are the people who are making a ton of money and like changing a ton of people's lives. So if some of you that are listening are kind of curious about that, like if you think of an area of your life that you either have solved or one that you could, it might be an interesting one to play around with, like just seeing what that would look like for you. It's very fun.
Yeah, that honestly makes sense because, you know, when you've gone through it yourself and you've found out the ways to overcome it, you then have like credibility and you can actually speak, like you've got the knowledge and the experience, right? Rather than if I were to talk about like overcoming an abusive relationship, but I've never been in one, you know, it's like, how do I sympathize with them or know, you know, exactly what they're going through when I personally have never been through that myself. So that makes total sense.
Yeah. And even for marketing, right? If you think of like, if you really struggled with having an abusive husband and you didn't know whether to go or stay and you somehow solved this problem for you, imagine like launching a coaching business. You could talk directly to that person and know exactly what they're struggling with. It's an interesting one. I should niche out and do the mother-daughter relationship because I could certainly speak to that. My mom might not agree.
I do feel like I know tons of friends of mine that have had like their relationship with their mom has had some sort of issue. Yeah. I mean, just girls in general, like, and especially in their teen years and their moms, like it can get tough and kind of like sticky. So yeah, I mean, that probably would be a pretty good niche for you to get into, but I did kind of have a question. So I guess what is like the main difference or main reason why somebody would come to like a life coach versus like a counselor or some sort of therapist, or are they kind of like the same thing in a way?
No, they're very different. So I guess the first thing you have to ask yourself is like, what do I want help with? And if it's like unprocessed trauma, unprocessed grief, if you want to be like diagnosed with something, or if you think you might have clinical depression, if you're not like fully functioning, therapist 100%. I went to a therapist for years, totally helped me clean up my past. A life coach is more solution focused. Like, this is a result I want to create in my life. Go to a life coach. Or if you're like, my life's pretty good, I should be way happier than I am, like I want way more out of my life, life coach.
Okay. Got it.
And if anybody's curious, they can, I think my info will be on the show notes. You can always email me and say, this is my problem, and I can let you know, life coach or therapy. But you can never go wrong. If you have something you're struggling with and you want help, just reach out to somebody. Yeah. Life is too short to suffer longer than necessary.
Totally. I totally agree with that. So how has being an entrepreneur, you know, really affected your life? And if you had the chance to kind of start your career over again, would you change anything? Would you have gone into life coaching right away? Or do you think that your career, like in your past role, was worth it and it helped you, you know, decide what was best for you?
I feel like a complete badass. I totally do. And it has shown me that I'm capable of 10 times more than I can ever even see, because I'm very hard on myself. I mean, it's the work I do. Like, I'm very hard on myself. I tend to like focus on what's not working more than what is. And so that's what I'm always working on. So it's really helped me see like, I can change my life with like one mindset shift. And that happened in my business when I had that $800 month. I was able to come up with another thought that immediately changed the trajectory of my business. And so it's made me feel incredibly powerful. And honestly, I think starting as late as I did and kind of suffering as long as I did in my last job helps me enjoy this so much more. So I don't think I would change it.
Yeah, it's kind of like brought you to where you are today. Yeah. Whereas if you'd just gone into life coaching, you know, who knows, you may have, it could have been completely different. So yeah, totally. I like that.
Yeah, I wake up on Saturday morning sometimes and I'll think, oh my God, I never have to get up and rush to an airport again. And it just makes me giddy.
I feel like traveling for work is cool if you can do it like once a month for like a couple days, or like once every other month, not like every single week. Like some consultants, they go, you know, they leave Monday or Sunday night and come back Thursday. I could never do that.
I enjoyed it in my 20s because free drinks and yeah. I was all about the party.
Right.
I was per like, diem. Hell yeah, let's go do this. But then like in my 30s, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I just want to be with my dog, my poor dog.
Yeah. I feel like your priorities shift. I mean, kind of same thing, like in earlier on in my career, like, I was all about per diem, traveling, like happy hours, all that. But now I'm 29 and my husband and I, like, I probably want kids soon. And you just, your priorities shift. Like, I'd rather work from home so I can be there with my children, you know, like not be out hanging out with my coworkers all night. So yeah, I get that.
Totally.
Alrighty. So what advice, what's some kind of like, I guess the final piece of advice that you would share with pretty much anybody who either wants to become a life coach or just somebody that wants to start a side hustle and just needs some guidance or some you know, motivation on actually taking that leap?
Okay. So anybody that wants to become a life coach, check in with your motive. If it's because you think it'll be an easy way to make money, I promise you it's not. It's not the easiest way to make money. But if you're like, hey, I really have solved some things in my life and would love to help people, check around. Like the school I got certified through is called the Life Coach School. And the woman who owns the school has a free podcast that has some amazing content on it. That's actually where I started before my life coach. And that's a really good podcast. So you could start there and just kind of get a feel for what it is. And then for people who have who want to start a side hustle, don't wait until you feel ready, because you never will, because you have a human brain. Like there is a part of our brain that is hardwired to keep us in the cave, so to speak, like just keep us from taking action. The easiest way it will do that is by offering all these thoughts that make you feel confused or overwhelmed, and you can stay in that space forever. So like if you have ideas on what you want to do, but you're not sure what the right decision is, there is no right decision. There really isn't. They're all just different. Narrow it down. I swear, narrow it down to two options. Like get it down to the best two. And if you really can't pick one that you most enjoy, flip a damn quarter and go. Because even if it doesn't work out, what you learn during that process will help you find what does work.
Yep. Yep.
So that would be the option there.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. No, that's awesome advice. I totally agree with the timing is never going to be perfect. Ever. So just do it.
No, you won't feel ready. You're not supposed to feel ready. When you do something new or scary, there's a part of your brain who's trying to make you not feel ready. So that's going to happen. It's just a sign that you're human, not that you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Totally agree with that. Alrighty. So one last question, where can our listeners connect with you to just find out more information on your services or just follow along on your life coaching journey?
Yeah. So my website is lifeleapcoaching.com. And if you punch in lifeleapcoaching.com/free, I just launched a new free training called How to Get Your Shit Together in 5 Days. And it's super fun. I just rolled it out. And even if you feel like you have your shit together, I would still go through it because it's simple. And it includes like some stuff I created for myself over the years, as well as some stuff I learned in certification. It's pretty fun.
Awesome. Yeah, that's helpful. I'll definitely check that out. I really appreciate you chatting today. You're hilarious. And honestly, I feel like you'd be like a great life coach to have. I mean, it just, you seem to care. You seem to kind of know your shit. And also you know, you're funny to chat with. So
it's been fun.
Yeah. I appreciate you joining today. And I definitely wish you all the best with your life coaching business.
Awesome. Thanks, Rachel. You too. I hope the podcast is a full-time thing sooner than you think it will be.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review so other lady hustlers can find the show. Until next time, keep going.